Book of 2 Kings, chapter 12. We're going to start from verse 1.
In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him.
Okay, now here we see the king of Judah. This child was kidnapped from the king's palace and kept it in the temple. The child was maybe a year old. When he was 7 years old, they appointed as a king. And the word of God says, this child, now 7 years old, but he was ruling Judah for 40 years. But the same time, verse 2 says, as long as Jehoiada, that was a priest, as long as the priest was giving him advice to do the right thing, he did it. In this chapter, we don't see what he did wrong, but we will be learning as we go in a book of Chronicles. So let's read the verse 4:3.
But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart, to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house.
Okay, now you see this young man grew in the temple, studied the book of law. They gave him the book as they anointed him as a king. So he learned about God. So he loved the Lord at that particular time. And he saw the temple was broken down here and there. This temple is old, but at the same time, if you remember Athaliah, the lady who was his grandmother, she had some children, I don't know, the children were rebellious at that time, and they broken into the temple, and they put the Baal god in the temple, and they destroyed so many holes here and there. That also you will be reading later, but if we didn't get a chance to read, I'm giving the chapter when you have time to read. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. You have to read the same chapter. Now that chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I think they have verses 27 or 29. But comparing to this 2 Kings chapter 12, they are similar chapter. But the Chronicle gives you more detail than the 2 Kings. So what this king said to the priests, you know what, you go around the country and tell people that we are going to raise the fund for building the temple or repairing the temple. And now he told them, I don't know what year he told them, but now they said, 23 years passed. So now he is almost 30 years old. Now he's a young man. He has now some authority. And he says, hey, what happened? I told you to repair the temple. You gathered a lot of money from everywhere. And you just kept the money and did not repair the temple. So now he is giving order. He's a little bit mad. He said, now no more raising the fund. No more money taken out. And so, it doesn't say in this chapter, but what happened, he gave the order to make a big chest. The size didn't give, but I just think maybe 3 feet wide, maybe 6 feet long, and maybe 4 feet tall. And they made a hole in between, like a, you know, offering box. And they kept this offering chest near the altar. The people come in, and first thing they see the this what you call the box to put the money, and they start putting money there. Okay, please read verse 7.
Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord.
Okay, now what happened? He gave the order, make a chest and put it there and let the people come in. Now you don't go around and raise the fund. So there were different kinds of fund they were people used to give. One thing, they do the census and you have to give a certain amount of money. That money will be put in. And then some people make a vow, so that money will be put in. And some people give some thanksgiving offering. So those three kinds of offering will be taken it out. And what they did, they appointed the people to do the job, carpenter, masonries, and all the people, different kinds of people to repair the job. And the people were very honest. They are godly people. When they appointed them once, they don't have to supervise. They don't have to say where money was gone and how much money was spent. They did not ask anything because those people were very honest and did the honest job. But in this chapter, he says, they did not make the bowls and silver and stuffings and trumpets and vessels of gold and silver. They didn't make it. But if you go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 24, read verses 14 to 16. There they say later on they did it, but it's not in this chapter.
And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king into Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons, and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada.
Now, as long as the priest was there, these things were done. In this chapter says they didn't do it, but we read it in 2 Chronicles. They did everything for the temple of God and everything was going very well, as long as the priest was alive. Okay, let's read the verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 14.
But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully.
See, these people were honest. Once they gave the money, once they told them, do this job, you don't have to bug them, you don't have to go after them, no supervision, nothing. And those people did very honest job because he says they dealt faithfully. And so this is what the born-again children of God do. Once they are sold out to God, you don't have to worry about them. Whatever the job you tell them, they will do faithfully. Okay, verse 16.
The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests.
These two kinds of money, trespass offerings and the sin offering, they said, don't use it for repairing. Keep it for the priest because they need some money. Okay, verse 17.
Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it, and Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem.
If you remember Hazael, Elisha anointed this man. This man was Syrian army officer. And Elisha told him, you are going to be king, and his king was sick. And we already studied, so I'm not telling you in detail. But what happened, Elisha told him, you will be king. And Elisha started crying and weeping. Why are you weeping? He says, because you're going to do so much damage to the Israeli people. And now that is happening. Now, in this chapter, doesn't say why this is happening, but as I told you, if you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, you will know, because Joash, the king, as soon as the priest died, he started doing idol worship. He started bringing idols in the temple. And so God was mad. God wanted to destroy the Judah. Originally, God wanted to destroy children of Israel. They were doing worse thing. But this is king of Judah. So now he started doing something wrong. And that's what the problem came. Verse 18.
And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father's king of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria. And he went away from Jerusalem.
Now see, this Joash was raised in the temple. And so this man didn't have any practice of war. David was a warrior. So this man is not a warrior. And Israeli people had taken David, taken so many Palestinians' properties. So Gath is a big place where the Goliath was living. So now this Hazael, king of Syria, took that Gath back from Judah and Israel. And so now Joash was so afraid. He took all these things and he defeated Israeli people. Now he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. But when you read this Chronicle 24, you will know a little bit more what he did. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And he already started destroying things, but it's not written in here. And so Joash was very afraid. So he took all the holy things from his father, his grandfather, and his own money from the king's palace, from the temple, and all this silver and gold, all the money to the Hazael. And Hazael was happy, had millions of dollars. So he said, I'm not going to fight for a while. And he went away. And that's the way he stopped Hazael. Verse 19.
And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Millo, which goeth down to Silla. For Josachar the son of Shemaiath and Jehozabad the son of Shomer, his servants, smote him, and he died.
Silla closed.
And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah his son reigned in his stead.
Okay. Now here we see two of his servants killed Joash. And I was thinking, why did this servant kill the king? He didn't do anything. But when you read 2 Chronicle, please read 2 Chronicle chapter 24, just read from 17 to 27.
Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, that the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass.
See, the wrath of God came. As long as the priest was alive, this king listened to the priest because he was just like his father, raised him, so he was afraid of him. And so he did not do anything wrong. As soon as the priest is dead, he started doing the things which his grandmother did and other people, Israeli people are doing. He started doing everything wrong. Okay, verse 19.
Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you.
Now here the Jehoiada, his son, the priest Zechariah, comes to the king and all the other people and say, Hey, listen, what you're doing? You are committing sin. You are doing idol worship. You have forsaken God. So God has forsaken you. That's why God told Hazael to go and destroy Jerusalem. And even the King Joash gave the money, he went away. But at the same time, they destroyed the temple, means spiritually start idol worship in the temple. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest's son. So, the Joash, the king, should have respect for the priest's son. But see what he does. Let's read a little bit further.
And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord.
Now, he says the commandments of the king. Means King Joash told these people, stone him to death. And they kill him. And so, the wrath of God comes. Now, we read in the chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 12, that Joash's servants, two servants, killed Joash. But here he's saying why they killed. Because he killed the priest's son. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it.
According to the Old Testament, this is the priest's son, but he was angry and he said, Lord, you take the revenge. I cannot do anything. My father is dead. I'm dying. So you take the revenge. So God did it. Okay, relate a little bit further.
23?
Yep, 23.
And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings.
Now see what happened. These two servants came and killed the king on his bed. He might be in some kind of luxurious place, maybe like a vacation place or something. But they went to his house and they killed him. Usually, or ordinarily, the king dies, the king should be buried, the king's burial ground. But in 2 Kings chapter 12, doesn't say that he was not buried the way the kings are buried. But in that plot, they put he's not the worthy to be kept near King David and this and that. So bury him somewhere else. And so they did not bury the right place. Verse 26.
And these are they that conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shemaiath, an Ammonitess, and Jehozabad the son of Shimrith, a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the book of the Behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead.
We get a little bit more information in Chronicles. But according to the book of 2 Kings chapter 12, the chapter already finished. Then he said he died and they buried him. But here we said how he died and why he died. So from that you know, you raised in the God's house. You got all the God's messages, like a pastor's children. They go to church with the parents, and they learn with the father and everything. And I heard that they say, pastor's children are the worst. But the point I'm making, study the Word of God, stay in the church, temple, and listen to the priest. But the priest died, he got some freedom. Hey, I want to do what I want to do. And he spoiled his life. And because of that, God said, God forsaken them. You have to see. When the problem comes to your family or your house, you have to go to the root cause. Why this is happening in my house? Why is happening to me? Somebody says, I didn't do anything. Maybe you're not doing Your grandchildren might be doing it, or somebody's doing it, and you are not strict. You allow them to do what they want to do. So God will punish you. That's what happened. Samuel's children were doing something wrong, even though Samuel was not doing. Israeli people start saying, your children are not good to be priests, give us a king. So the point I'm making, all the problem came because the king gave up the right thing to do. And then you'll see, when you're reading the 2 Chronicles chapter 24, there's some other things are written. Okay, the chapter is finished, 12. We are going to go to the 2 Kings chapter 13, starting from verse 1.
In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 17 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him. For he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them.
Okay, now here we see Hazael and his son, we will be reading later on, Ben-Hadad. Those people were harassing Jehoahaz. These names are king of Judah and king of Israel. Almost similar names are given, so it's a little bit difficult to understand. But Jehoahaz, he said Jehoahaz, other one was Joash. So now this the king of Israel. Now this Israeli king, when he was ruling, in his time, this Hazael the king, the Syrian king, gave them a hard time. They had a war all the time in his lifetime. So Ahaz asked God, maybe he cried or said something, Lord, you protect us. Why this is happening to us? God is always gracious. Let's read the verse 5.
And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time.
Now here is saying God gave them the savior. We are not talking about Jesus Christ, the Savior, but a deliverer. Now, the Savior was his own son. We'll be reading later on. But God did not protect him when he was ruling, even though he prayed and asked God to protect us. But God allowed this Syrian king to destroy these people, and you'll be reading how they destroyed. Let's read a little bit further, verse 6.
Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein. And there remained the grove also in Samaria.
See, that means these people kept the idols everywhere in Samaria, and they never turned to God. Even though he prayed to God, God, protect us, give us some savior, and take care of this enemy. God didn't listen because at that time they were doing idol worship. Verse 7.
Neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like the dust by threshing.
Dust by threshing floor. What does it mean? Prophet Elisha already told what this Hazael will do. Now Hazael did exactly. He destroyed everything, only 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen only he kept. Israeli people had thousands of warriors, 40,000, 70,000, 80,000. Those all they destroyed. And now they have no army, no horses, and nothing. And they said they were destroyed so much like dust by threshing. You know, threshing floor, and you take this and do all the chops, goes by the wind. That's the kind of problem Israeli people had, and no protection. And so people were crushed. And God heard the prayer, and God was sympathetic, but we will be learning a little bit further. Okay, verse 8.
Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz, and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash his son reigned in his stead. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein.
Now, see now, this Jehoahaz had a son, and his name is Joash. And before that, we learned the 7 years old boy was made a king. His name was the similar, same name. So that's why people are getting so much confused. Who is the king and what person doing what? Now, this is an Israeli king. The other Joash was the Judah's king. Okay, so this king did so many bad things. Then they always say the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nabat. Now, who is this guy, Jeroboam? He is the first Israeli king. He is the one made two golden calf and told Israeli people to worship. And that worship is coming from hundreds of years, and not a single king, Israeli king. And so they were doing all this worshiping. And so Jeroboam's name is repeated so many times when the people committed sin. Okay, verse 12.
And the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, and his might wherewith he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel?
Now here Joash, Israeli king, fought with Amaziah. The Amaziah is the son of Joash, the king of Judah. So now they are like a brethren. So this Joash fighting with Judah's king, instead of fighting with the Hazael, enemy. And so he had a war, Israel and Judah. And so this Amaziah, Judah's king. Now this Joash is the Israeli king. Now, as I told you, Ahaziah is the father of Joash. Ahaziah prays to God, send us some revival, send us some savior. God said, I'm going to send a savior. And then you'll be reading. But in here he says, this Joash is already died. But his story picked up a little bit more. Let's read the verse 13.
And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel.
Now this Joash, the king of Israel, dies. And then his son, Jeroboam, became the king. Now here we read, Jeroboam, the son of Nabat. This is the first king of Israel. But now they took his name and gave this name to Joash, Israel king's son, Jeroboam. That's called now Jeroboam the second. And so this Jeroboam start doing his reign, and they said now Joash is dead. But see, his story picks up verse 14. Let's read the verse 14.
Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel, the horsemen thereof.
Now see, this Joash is already dead in the verse 12. But now, this following his story, this Joash, before he died, he heard about Elisha. Elisha is very sick and dying. So now this man, Joash, the Israeli king, goes to see the Elisha. And here he says something good. He says, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. This is the same words Elisha used. You remember? When the Elijah went to heaven. So he reminded, hey, This is my own words. The Joash, the king of Israel, telling me, so he felt good. Now, this is a wicked king. And he did so many bad things. He was a bad king. But few good words he said to Elisha, Elisha's heart was changed. I'm going to bless this guy. And so Elisha said something to him. Let's read the verse 15.
And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands.
Now, can you imagine? This king is an evil king. He's the enemy of Judah. But Elisha forgot everything because he said some good things about him. Now he's sick and dying, but the king knows the arrows and everything. But he said, let me hold your hand. Means I agree with you. We are together going to fight with Hazael and his sons and his kingdom. And so he was saying, I agree with you. That's why the Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, two people has to agree and they pray. God will hear our prayer from heaven. And so these people, king and Elisha, the prophet, agreed. We want to defeat the Hazael or the Syrian armies. And so he gives the instruction what to do. Let's read verse 17.
And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed.
Okay. Now here is the problem. Elisha did not give proper instruction. He said one thing. This arrow you are going to throw, these arrows are signed to destroy the Syrian armies. And so you're going to defeat the Syrian army. And then he said, now open the window eastward. There's the enemy there. And said, now you shoot. But he did not say. He said, shoot the arrows. Didn't say one. So I don't know how many arrows he had. They had a basket. In the basket, they take one by one. I don't know how many he had. But if Elisha would have said, shoot the arrow as many as you have in your pocket, a container, and shoot. But he didn't say anything. So what this king did, one, two, and three, and he stopped. Elisha got so mad. See what Elisha is saying. Verse 19.
And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice.
Now he said, you should have done it at least six times at least. So you did only 50%. But three times you did, you will defeat them for three times. And I was thinking, if God is with you, you don't need it three times, right? You can defeat them in one time. So now he's saying, you will smite the Syrian for three times. So you did threes, and you will do it three times. And exactly happened. Let's read verse 20.
And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet.
Okay, I don't know why this came in the middle. It has nothing to do. But what I'm trying to say, this is the last miracle. But Elisha in his life happened. Now, I don't know. They were still digging the grave for Elisha. And these people saw the empty grave. And they just these people are not good people. They are rowdy people. They are robbers or whatever. They might have got some kind of fighting with each other and say, let's kill this man and throw it. And wherever they found the digging place, they put it. But it's not clear. Or it was buried Elisha for a long time, and these people were looking for a empty place. And those days, some of the graves are not like underground. They may be a caves or something like that. So they might have seen, open the cave and put it there. And he says his bones. So now if you're putting the person right away, the body still has flesh. So he cannot touch the bone, but it might be happen a longer period of time. But anyhow, they threw this man, and he just touched the bone of Elisha, and he came to life. After that, we don't know what happened to that man. There is no story behind this. Only one thing they can say, the miracle happened. But we don't know what this man did later on, the man who came to life. Okay, verse 22.
But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz.
Now see, here is saying, again, the Syrian people destroyed them all the time that Joash's father was alive. But he's the one prayed, God, do some miracle. And the word of God says God heard his prayer. But did not happen in his time, but happened after he died. And sometimes people said, you know, I prayed and nothing happening. But your prayer will not go in vain. Joash prayed, God heard his prayer, didn't happen in his lifetime. But after he died, in his son's time, it happened. Okay, verse 23.
And the Lord is gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet.
Now, what God is saying here, God did not do it because of Joash prayed, or because Joash went to Elisha. I did it because I made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not because of these people, but eventually God destroyed Israeli people. Anyhow, verse 24.
So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities, which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel.
That's the way he became the savior of the Israeli people. He is the only one defeated Hazael and his son, and they took so many cities, but he recovered them and he defeated them three times, and the chapter finishes. So here we see some of the things. Each and every time you read in the book of 2 Kings or 1 Kings, they will always say, if you want to know more about, go to the Chronicles and study them. And so the point I'm making, here we see chapter 12 gives the story of the king of Judah. Chapter 13, it gives the story of the king of Israel. But the names are given similar name, so people get confused. But if you really read properly and study properly, you will understand the Bible very clear. But I would like people to understand the Bible very well. That's why we are doing chapter by chapter and verse by verse. These chapters were small, so we finish it early also. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Our Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, the Word of God says, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And one day, our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ will come. And they will be peaceful kingdom for 1,000 years. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow you, study the word, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, and tell others what we are learning. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.